Penguin Random House Audio presents The Big Freeze, a reporter's personal journey into the world of egg freezing and the quest to control our fertility. This is the author, Natalie Lampert. Note to listeners, this audiobook includes a downloadable PDF which contains notes and references from the printed book. For all the people with ovaries confronting uncertainty and the consequential questions. I used to think, as a young woman, that life was something I was controlling and directing. Now I only think, what a mess we all are, with so many contradictory impulses, so many things about ourselves we'll never entirely understand. Zadie Smith, Lenny Letter Interview, December 2017. We are all yeses. We are worthy enough. We passed inspection. We survived the great fetal oocyte extinctions. In that sense, at least, call it a mechano-spiritual sense, we are meant to be. We are good eggs, every one of us. Natalie Angier, Woman and Intimate Geography. Author's note. About the reporting. This is a work of nonfiction. All names are real, except when noted in the accompanying notes PDF. There are no composite characters or events, though I had to omit some people and details in the interest of book length. I did so only when an omission had no impact on either the veracity or the substance of the story. This book relies predominantly on interviews and research I conducted. Most scenes and dialogue draw from what I saw and heard firsthand. I occasionally describe events for which I was not present, and in so doing, consulted with others and relied on extensive documentation. To write this book, I set out on an immersive first-person quest, and to that end, I also relied upon my journals and my medical records, as well as my own memory and the memories of others. Memory, of course, can be fallible. I have done my best. The accompanying notes PDF is intended to offer more detail on certain studies, statistics, and topic areas, as well as to guide listeners to publicly available resources. Unlimited language and perspectives. It was my goal to present a character-driven narrative of the contemporary landscape of egg freezing. Most of the research I discuss in this book focuses on the experiences of heterosexual, white, cisgender women, because they are the people who, for now, predominantly constitute that landscape, although they are by no means the only people who use and or require assisted reproductive technologies. LGBTQ+ people, same-sex couples, solo parents, and a wide spectrum of others plan their family making outside the traditional male-female partnership, often relying on fertility treatment to do so. In this book, I use the terms female and woman to refer to people with ovaries, although not everyone with internal reproductive organs identifies as a woman or a female. Likewise with man and male. Sex and gender exist on a spectrum, and people with ovaries include those who are transgender, non-binary, intersex, gender non-conforming, gender queer, agender, and genderless. All too often, BIPOC women struggle to access fertility treatment and technologies, a reflection of the broader, unjust ways in which reproductive healthcare's racial and ethnic inequities play out in the United States. One of the book's primary characters, Mandy, is Asian American, and I hope readers who are women of color in particular will see themselves in her egg freezing experience. I recognize some of the limitations in my reporting and in the research and findings I describe here. More so, I acknowledge the fact that this book cannot capture all the complexities of the experiences of people with ovaries. However you identify, and regardless of whether you have ovaries and eggs, I hope you will find something of value here. Introduction. This isn't the book I set out to write. I began writing this book in my late 20s. I'm in my early 30s now, and I couldn't have imagined all that would happen in the years between. The second half of one's 20s and beginning of one's 30s is a tumultuous and tender time for many people, even under normal circumstances. And this was certainly true for me, though at times the circumstances were decidedly not normal. One unusual and unique to me circumstance that did not change during these years was the fact that I have one ovary, for reasons I'll soon explain. But I mention it now because it was my doctor's urging that I freeze my eggs and protect my ability to have biological children that turned out to dominate this roughly 5-year period. And it was this dilemma that became the main impetus behind the deep dive that resulted in this book. As I wrote, my life kept changing. And that, in turn, changed what this book was becoming. What began as a straightforward investigation into egg freezing and reproductive technologies morphed into a book about control. About what we, women, humans, all of us, try to control, why we do that, and how we ultimately have much less control than we think we do. Even as we attempt to buy it, or freeze it, or otherwise procure it. Nearly half a century after the birth of the first test tube baby conceived via in vitro fertilization, a third of American adults say that they or someone they know has used fertility treatment to try to have a baby. The ability to successfully freeze eggs has been among reproductive medicine's biggest achievements, resulting in the first two decades of the 21st century having seen egg freezing secure its place among the full range of processes by which conception begins outside the human body. What was once science fiction is now simply science. Fertility can be frozen in time. Along with in vitro fertilization, or IVF, egg freezing is on its way to becoming part of a vast demographic shift, a global trend of delaying childbirth, particularly among the affluent. Sperm freezing is on the rise too, with an increasing number of men eyeing fertility preservation. We are marrying and having babies later than ever, and egg freezing lets women have biological children on a timeline that suits them. That's the idea, at least, and more women are buying into it than ever before. For most of U.S. history, many women didn't have legal rights over their bodies, and were still experiencing the horrible hangover. The conflict in America today over abortion is proof of how many people still believe that a woman's uterus should belong to the government. At the same time, we live in an age that prizes optimization and taking charge, and the notion that a woman should command every aspect of her future fertility, even if her reproductive rights are, at present, on shaky ground, has become, for many, a pillar of modern womanhood. The pressure to take charge of one's fertility helps to explain egg freezing's rapid growth and why it has become, for a certain group of women, a mainstream viable option, viewed as one of the best technological solutions available for women hoping to have it all. From boardrooms to bedrooms, egg freezing is touted as an obvious and immediate way to conquer the biological clock. More and more employers cover the cost of the procedure as a workplace benefit. Celebrities sing its praises. Many of us know someone who has done it or have seen targeted ads for it on our social media feeds or have watched it unfold as a plotline on one of our favorite TV shows. Even if we've only heard of egg freezing in passing, we know what it purportedly offers women. More agency over their reproductive lives. More flexibility in planning a family. More options, more control. My quest to decide whether to freeze my eggs took me to the front lines of fertility, tomorrow's final frontier for women's reproductive autonomy. I set out to learn all I could about the latest developments in assisted reproductive technology and how they affected my own future choices. I was a young journalist on a personal mission, determined to unearth information that I and so many other women were shockingly ignorant about. Along the way, I visited world-famous fertility clinics, sat in on high school sex ed classes, and peered into petri dishes inside laboratories. I attended egg freezing parties and medical conferences. I interviewed dozens of reproductive endocrinologists and fertility experts. I followed the experiences of young women who froze their eggs and a few who chose not to. I met with scientists and startup founders, embryologists and ethicists, clinicians, and corporate executives. I spoke to
Sample complete. Ready to continue?